Welcome back to Small Town Missing. It's been a while.
It has been. I'm Will.
I'm Thomas. I'm
Just in case you guys forgot.
Yeah. They're like, who are
we,
you?
We had some technical difficulties, to say the least.
We had a whole episode recorded.
Yeah,
and
we did. I think we had this episode recorded.
It's in the ether somewhere.
Yeah, it's gone. It's just gone.
That was so sad. Well, I can only imagine, and I'm sure Rhonda was here for it, the choice words Thomas had for it when he realized.
Oh, no, she was at work while I was dealing with it. I was getting ready for work trying to find the episode.
And you're like, hmm.
And basically, it shows up as a recent save.
Yeah.
If you click it and try to open it, it says that there's no file there.
You're
there's
like,
nothing.
This is
it's just empty. And I tried everything I could possibly think of until I finally just got to the point of, I think I yelled.
Yeah. I mean, I've been there.
And I brushed my teeth and I went to work.
And listen, it took your anger out at work.
Yeah. There were a bunch of technical difficulties.
I hate that. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to go through that. I had no idea. Like, I just got a message. It's like, hey, like, they're...
episode's not releasing tonight.
Yeah, I saw your Facebook post, and I was like, oh, man, I guess something happened. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't even get a chance to text you. I put one out to let people know that it was not going to be coming out Friday night, and that was it. I said, we'll have a break next week. We will try to do something. But, it was...
We have other episodes, I guess, on the back burner, like, you know, from our other podcast that we could have used. So that might be something we do in the future.
Yeah, but it didn't sound as good. We tried that. We listened to it. It just wasn't good.
Well, we're just so good now, you know. Right, Rhonda?
In comparison, definitely.
In comparison. Yeah, Thomas and I listened to about three of the old episodes that might have been good candidates, not
it just
quite.
Wasn't. It didn't work
out. I think if we re-recorded them now, like, you know, it'd be better, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
But I do want to say one thing, and I know we're pressed for time sometimes, but we did just pass 10,000 downloads on the podcast. Whoop, whoop. That's a big deal, y'all. We have 37 episodes.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's awesome.
I think that's very, especially for a podcast that had, you know, virtually had to start from the ground up. You know, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
But that's all I had to say.
Yeah, and I just want to throw out, sorry we had the mishap, and we took a hiatus for the holidays.
Yeah, that was for Thanksgiving. I mean,
yes.
I think everybody understands
they
that
understand.
One.
Yeah, but, you know, of course, we missed a couple of weeks, didn't have an episode, and we appreciate you guys hanging in there, and hopefully you're listening to us and not
we'll
too
out.
Disappointed.
We look, it's like two views.
Yeah, two downloads.
I'm one of them.
You're two of them.
I'm two of them.
All right. Well, let's get into this episode.
Okay. Well, let's get started then. I have an episode today, two very young girls who disappeared from Washington State. And one of them, Tika Latrice Lewis, is probably maybe the youngest
person we've done.
Yeah, she was 2 years old when she disappeared.
Yeah, I would say so. I remember one that we talked about, I think, maybe three or four. I forgot what the name was. It's been very, very like one of the earlier episodes that we did. You did three, I think two or three people on that
episode.
It was
three girls.
Yeah, three girls, I think. And I forgot. I can't recall. If I had my phone over here, I'd be able to recall. But yeah, not two is the youngest. I think you're right.
Yeah, I recall the one you're talking about. And I had three in that episode, three young girls. And
yes.
I believe the youngest was the one in... I'd have to go back and find her name, who disappeared from her father or stepfather's truck, I believe. They were at a convenience store.
Yeah,
yes.
I do remember that.
Yep. Okay. Well, moving along, as I said, Tika was two, and she disappeared from Tacoma, Washington. Tika and several family members were at the New Frontier Lanes bowling alley on Center Street in Tacoma the evening of January 23rd, 1999. She was last seen between 10 and 10:15 p.m., and she was playing a race car video game in the bowling alley's arcade section.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tika's mother, Teresa English, had been keeping an eye on her, obviously, like any parent would, and had just turned away for a minute, and Tika was gone.
Mm-hmm. God, that's so scary. Well, you know, Thomas, we had, like, a little bowling alley that was like that.
Oh, it's still here.
Well,
it's still around.
Well, and same thing. Like, you know, my parents would send me off to the little arcade. So, I mean, that's normal. Like, I feel like a lot of parents would have done that.
Yeah, especially back then.
Yeah, I don't think that's unusual at all.
Mm-hmm.
A maroon Pontiac Grand Am was seen speeding out of the parking lot that night. I don't have an exact description, but it's believed the car was four-door, late 80s or early 90s, had tinted windows, and a large spoiler. There's a photograph of a similar car posted on Charlie Project, and that link will be posted in our show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the night of Tika's disappearance, a witness stated a Caucasian man may have followed a child to one of the bowling alley exits. He's described as having shoulder-length brown hair, facial pockmarks, mustache, and a large nose.
Sounds like Smeagol, or not Smeagol, or something like that. I don't know. Something
Smeagol?
Creepy.
What's Smeagol?
Oh, who's Smeagol? Isn't that somebody from Gollum? Lord of the Rings? Gollum. That's it. Yeah. That's who I'm thinking of.
Oh, I don't.
Smeagol was, who was from the Smurfs? Who was that guy from the Smurfs?
Gargamel.
Gargamel. I don't know. Is that giving how me Gargamel I remember life? That? Look at you being like the ultimate fan of
how
Gargamel.
How do you even get that from, I don't know. From this description?
Just something the, creepy. The big someone nose. Creepy.
Oh, just, okay, you're just visualizing something
someone
creepy.
Someone creepy, and, how I think he would look.
Okay, all right, I understand. Weeks prior to Tika's disappearance, a 4-year-old boy had been sexually assaulted in the bowling alley's bathroom.
It sounds to me like this bowling alley needs to be shut down.
Yeah, or something.
Like, there's an issue going on.
Well, I think they need more security. Yeah, exactly. Maybe I mean, that's the case.
And cameras.
Well, I mean, the only lots security at a bowling alley, I think, at our place would have been maybe a 16-year-old at the front desk. That would have been the security.
Yeah, there were no security guards back then. There was the person running the clerk and the person running the food booth.
Yeah, and maybe like it. One or two people at yeah, most.
They were walking around making sure the lanes were working, mm-hmm. and that was it. So mm-hmm. maybe 3 or 4 employees at a time.
God.
Yeah, I would, you know, and this is 1999.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I know. We were alive in that time going to this bowling alley.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously back then there wouldn't have been the security cameras and all that kind of stuff we've got now, and people with their cameras taking pictures and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just as an aside, people need to remember if they have security cameras, those might come in handy if something happens in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a security camera like on your front porch, or a security camera that reaches out to the street.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, if anything happens, you certainly be willing to pass that information along to the police.
Oh, exactly.
And any businesses, like if there's a robbery down the street from you or across the street from you of your place of business, a lot of places do have security cameras now outside
mm-hmm.
of business.
Mm-hmm.
Those cameras catch more than you think.
Well, you absolutely. Know, there's an Unsolved Mysteries episode that's on the newest season. I forget what the name is, but it was the first episode I watched. And they actually found this girl they were looking for, or like, you know, found out where she was going because of, I think, like a hunting camera. You know, like one of those ones that are out in the forest that'll catch the deer and stuff like
yeah.
that. Like, you know, so who's to say? I mean, something could be really important and you don't think it will be.
Right, exactly. So just keep that in mind mm-hmm. if something comes up that you might have captured something that's important.
Get a security camera.
Okay. In a separate incident, a man had tried to lure a 6-year-old boy away from the bowling alley. Mm-hmm. He claimed to be the boy's father. Now, the day Tika disappeared, a man had tried to abduct 2 children from a nearby park. Their father had chased the guy away. The suspect was in a blue 1995 Pontiac Grand Am. Kind of sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does.
The father reported the kidnapping attempt 3 days later after he had heard about Tika's abduction.
Well, I'm glad he said something about that because then you can get, like, you know, this person of interest that has a similar car and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, a Pontiac Grand Am. This one was described as blue. The other was maroon, but I don't know how accurate that is because
yeah.
it was nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the suspect in the sexual assault case is described as having brown curly hair and a beard. The suspect in the case of the 6-year-old is described as Caucasian and having brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
And the suspect who attempted to abduct the 2 children from the park is described as having curly brown hair.
Oh, so yeah, they're all very similar.
They are very similar, but that's kind of a generic description.
Yeah, I mean, brown hair, I feel like, is probably the most common hair color, I would feel like, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
So that's not saying, not giving us too much.
No, it's not, unfortunately. And it's unknown if these cases are related and no arrests have been made. Tika's father, who was in prison at the time, has been ruled out.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a non-custodial parent type abduction.
Which we hear about all the time. That's where they would look first.
Right. Now, according to DoeNetwork.org, a witness described a white male, 5'11", with a husky build, shoulder-length curly brown hair.
There it is again.
A thick mustache and a heavily pockmarked face holding a little girl's hand at the bowling alley that night.
Mm.
The girl matched Tika's description. The witness spoke to police in January 1999, but it wasn't until 2020 that the statement got attention when it was, quote, rediscovered by a cold case detective.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a week after Tika disappeared, a film crew was filming a reenactment at the bowling alley, and a witness noticed a man matching the description watching the reenactment, and the witness thought that the guy was acting strangely.
And going back, like, you know, they'll do that too, like go back to the scene of the crime and stuff like that, like a lot of perpetrators will.
Right, and going back to this rediscovery of this description, I think what happened is the cold case detective noticed the pockmark
yeah.
comment, and it hadn't I guess, jumped out at anybody else in the past, and maybe they weren't looking for something as that detailed, but obviously a white male, average build, I guess, or maybe a little on the stocky side with brown curly hair and a mustache. But when you add that to it, that kind of narrows things down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very distinguishing feature.
Yeah, I would think so. And unfortunately, I didn't check to see the population of Tacoma, Washington, you know, in 1999, but I don't think it's a large town.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine in 1999 it was smaller. Again, I wish I had gotten the numbers.
It's hard to, because, you know, you would think that they would be small. I always think anything, any city 20 years ago is a lot smaller than it probably is now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I think of big cities, I don't think of Tacoma, Washington.
Mm-hmm, me neither.
But so I would think that would have helped narrow things down. But maybe with this information, maybe that will help. In 2019, the Washington State Patrol's Homeward Bound program unveiled semi-trailers with Tika's picture on the side of the trailers. Washington State Patrol partnered with Camway Transportation to make this happen. Tika's picture was featured on the trailers, or rolling billboards, if you will, which drive throughout the West Coast, Canada, and Mexico.
That's awesome. I love that. I mean, that's just to get more eyes on the case for sure.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, this is a cold case, but it's good to get word out.
Yes.
At the time of her disappearance, Tika was wearing a green Tweety Bird sweatshirt or T-shirt and white sweatpants. Tika is African-American, Caucasian, and of Native American descent. She has black hair and brown eyes. She has a birthmark on her left buttocks. Patches of light discoloration on her face and left buttocks are the result of eczema. She has dimples and pierced ears. She is asthmatic and requires medical supervision and an inhaler or ventilator. Tika would now be 26. You can find an age-progressed picture of Tika on Charlie Project, and we'll have that link in our show notes. If you have any information on Tika's disappearance, please contact the Tacoma Police Department, 253-798-4721, or the FBI at 202-324-3000.
Well, okay. Rhonda, I don't know. Like, that's one of those ones, too. I'm glad it has a cold case unit that's going after it, like a lot of these cases that we've talked about before.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, I know Miss Dorsey had a cold case unit that's going after her case. So that was our first episode. So hopefully something in the next few months or years or whatever, hopefully they're able to uncover some things.
I hope so. And give the family closure or find these people. You know, I go back to some of these younger children that we've seen disappear. You know, me, I'm always positive.
Me too.
There's no reason to think that they weren't taken by someone and raised as their own child.
Yeah, or something like that. And we've seen, I've heard of, you know, cases like that too. So, I mean, like, I think that that is within the realm of possibility 100%.
Yeah, we had something like that fairly, sometime earlier this year, maybe in the summer, where a baby had been abducted.
Yeah.
And found, I think the parents had been killed, and someone took the baby and raised it as their own.
Mm-hmm. And I remember another case that I think people had thought that originally maybe the victim might have been, that happened as well, was like with the Madeline McCann case, which was pretty popular. Like, it's one of the most popular, I think, true crime documentaries. And I think I saw a TikTok as recently as maybe 2 years ago or something like that with a TikTok. You know how everyone does. They always speculate on those websites. And so there was this girl who was like, looked kind of like Madeline McCann would have. And so they just allegedly thought that maybe she was her. So I'm like, I don't know, especially in this day and age. I mean, I think using stuff like TikTok or Reddit is like, is a good idea, you know, to get more, you know, publicity for the case and to also maybe spark some interest in it too.
So. Oh, I agree. Well, I absolutely agree. All right. Our second little girl is Sofia Lucerno Juarez, and she was 4 years old when she disappeared from Kennewick, Washington on February 4th, 2003. Now, this was one day before her fifth birthday.
Oh, bless.
Sometime between 8 p.m. and 9:15 p.m., Sophia told her mother she was going to go to the store, which was 5 blocks away. Mm-hmm. Sophia's mother, Maria, gave her a dollar to spend. Now, Maria thought Sophia was going to the store with Sophia's grandmother's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. However, when he returned to the home at 9:45 p.m., he said Sophia hadn't gone with him. Apparently, there was a miscommunication.
Yeah, that's so scary.
Yeah, he was going to go to the store, and I'm sure Sophia heard him say, "I'm going to the store," and probably decided, "Oh, I'm going to go with him."
I'm going to go too.
And he didn't realize that she wanted to go, and he left, and she, I'm sure, walked out of the house and was looking for him, started walking down the street towards the store 5 blocks away.
Exactly.
And, you know, she disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Maria immediately contacted the police when the boyfriend returned to the home without Sophia. Mm-hmm. And Sophia was the first Amber Alert issued in Washington State.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, 2003.
Oh, gosh. And I'm just like, that's so scary, too, because you got to imagine, too, at that time, it's like one decision changed that whole thing. Like, you know, in retrospect, she'd probably be like, oh, man, like, I should have double-checked or something like that. And it's just so sad just because it was just nobody's fault, really. It just was a miscommunication, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people wouldn't even think. It's like, oh, okay, well, she's going to follow him out the door.
Exactly, and they're going to go together.
Think twice.
You know?
Yep. Family members were ruled out as suspects, including Sophia's father, who had never met her, and Sophia's grandmother's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. A 10-year-old living at the home said he saw Sophia walking down the sidewalk with a man dressed in a black sweatshirt, black pants, and black shoes, but the sighting was never confirmed. Mm-hmm. On May 2003, police announced they were looking for a Caucasian male with a thick blonde beard between 35 and 40 years old. The man was seen driving a mid-90s full-size faded orange van, having a license plate with two J's in the number in the area of Sophia's home around the time of her disappearance. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not known if this sighting is connected with the case, but that van was in the area, and probably they're hoping that this person could provide more information.
Am I the only one that just want to get rid of all vans? Like, just out, like just get rid of every van ever created? Like, I never hear a good story involving a van.
Well, I never think about that, Will, but I mean, you've got people who drive the construction vans.
Yeah, you've got minivans, mom vans.
I mean, listen,
soccer mom vans.
But like, would you just lose sleep over if any vans were gone? I just wouldn't.
I personally like SUVs better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, you probably don't see that many vans now.
Yeah, true.
Like you did back then.
True. I just think of like, you know, the weird van that we all picture, like with cases like this,
yes.
Like the, you know, white van with like tinted windows or something like that. That's what I get for these. I'm imaginative thinker today.
Well, you are.
Only when it comes to dark things.
Only when it comes to dark things. But I don't know. Like, that's so sad, too, because, you know, there's really nothing, especially because what they're going on for this case is from a 10-year-old,
yeah.
You know, from a sighting for that as well, which I guess that's not affiliated with the orange van. But it just sounds like there's not many spectators towards that. Like, they didn't see anything or nobody saw anything that they thought was weird at the time.
Well, coming up.
Oh, Rhonda. Okay.
Yeah, I do have more detail, or at least another description from a different witness.
Okay.
Okay. In 2021, a suspect description was released by Kennewick police. The witness reported seeing a girl matching Sophia's description on South Washington Street near 15th Avenue around the time Sophia disappeared. The girl was being led to a van parked on a side street. The van is described as light blue, not the orange.
Yeah, not the orange.
Silver or gray, late 70s or early 80s. And it was a full-size van, and it had no windows, so it was kind of like a work-type van.
Okay.
Like what you see with the ladders on top and, mm-hmm, you know,
yeah,
that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
The person leading Sophia away is described as a boy between 11 and 14 years of age, Hispanic, having a light complexion, about 5 feet tall, with short, wavy, dark hair, a baby face, quote, baby face, mm-hmm, with a possible mark on his cheek, large hands for a person his age.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like the blonde guy or like the with the big blonde bushy beard or whatever.
Not in this description.
Huh.
Yep. He's believed to be chubby, and that's based primarily on his facial features.
Yeah.
The baby face look.
Mm-hmm.
And he was holding Sophia's hand and laughing while she was crying.
Oh.
So there's another one. And that was, that was released in 2021.
Oh, okay. So that's really new.
Yeah. The witness reported the information to the Kennewick police the day after the abduction, and the witness viewed a picture of Sophia and confirmed the young girl was Sophia. The description of the van was released at the time of her disappearance, and numerous tips did come in. The police were holding the detailed description of the person due to active investigations being conducted on persons of interest.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Kennewick police, it's now believed this witness saw the initial stages of Sophia's abduction.
Oh, no. See, and my thing is, too, like, after all these years and stuff, I mean, I guess, I don't know, I can understand, like, holding specific aspects of, like, a person, but especially with, you said she was the first Amber Alert and stuff like
she
that?
She was.
Why would they hold that information about? Well, I guess this was, you know, not initially when they knew all this information, because you said some of this was what, like 2021 that they came out with this or whatever?
Well, now this particular information, the witness reported this description the day after.
Yeah, so like why not release that? That's very
important.
Because
they don't want to let people know that they're hunting someone else.
I don't know, though.
Sometimes you want to release less information so that you don't give up too much.
I know, but with a kid, like, wouldn't I need to know, like, hey, like, if it was Thomas or something like that, and I need, hey, it's a guy with glasses, he's this tall. Like, isn't that not information that you need to be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand it either. I mean, I hear what Thomas is saying, and
me
I
too.
Can understand
Oh, no,
that.
I agree with y'all. I'm just saying that they might have been overthinking it and decided to go with that route.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It just depends on, because it's a touchy thing.
It is.
And you want to be careful what information you give out. Mm-hmm. So they might have just thought, okay, we need to give out the adult information and see if there's a connection to the kid in the back without letting too much information go. We don't want to let the mastermind know that we know what his agent looks like, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Or something. I don't know. I guess I could understand maybe holding certain aspects of the case close, like, you know, maybe, I don't know, certain things and maybe how she was abducted or like whatever. But also, I don't, with the look and like of someone, I feel like that's like, not as important. Like, give that information out, you know, so I can be on the lookout for somebody.
I agree with you.
That's just silly. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, they did have the van description.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, they did really, I'm sure they put that, well, I say that. This was after, the day after, so I don't know if they went back and maybe updated an Amber Alert or not.
Yeah, or something.
I know when I get an Amber Alert these days, it usually has something like a location and a possible vehicle or a possible suspect.
It has the name of the kid that's missing, the description of the vehicle, and the location that the kid was last seen.
Yeah, last location.
Yeah. Okay. And her mother, Maria, states that she is shy. Sophia is shy, and she wouldn't have gone willingly with a stranger.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So she thinks whoever took her is someone Sophia knows and trusts.
Oh, so wow, that really, I mean, which, I mean, we've heard all the time. We just talked about it. Like, we think that, you know, these, we always look at people who are closest to the victim, you know?
Yeah. I've included a link of the Kennewick Police Department What Happened to Sophia site, which was created in 2021, and there's also a link to updates on Sophia's investigation on the site. The site contains a tip link, too. The latest update was July of 2022. The department thanked numerous tips coming in concerning a TikTok post and when a woman featured in the TikTok segments. However, according to the site, it was determined the woman is not Sophia.
I'm glad people are looking out, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it.
You know?
In March 5th to 2021 update, Sophia was one of five children featured on the Washington State Patrol's Homeward Bound program, which I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, you mentioned before.
That I mentioned earlier with Tika. And this in my trailers that they had Sophia's pictures on them. And again, they went up and down the West Coast, Canada and Mexico. Mm-hmm. A Kennewick couple is offering $10,000 reward for information leading to the discovery of Sophia's whereabouts. And the couple has requested to remain anonymous.
Well, that's nice of them.
Sophia is Hispanic with black hair and brown eyes. And at the time of her abduction, she was missing her top four front teeth. She was wearing a red long-sleeve shirt, blue overalls, violet socks, and white Converse tennis shoes, mm-hmm. and had gold hoop earrings. She has a mole under her eye, and her ears are pierced. And she would now be 24.
Wow.
And you can see age-progressed pictures of Sophia at age 21 on Kennewick's Sophia site. A link will be attached, as I said, to our show notes. And if you have any information regarding her disappearance, contact Kennewick Police Department, 509-585-4208. And the reason the Kennewick Police Department have created a link with this information for Sophia is they said that it just hit the town so hard when she disappeared that someone would abduct a child off the street like that.
And it doesn't help, Rhonda, that you're giving all these, descriptions, and they're like a Tweety Bird shirt, you know, all this kind of stuff, and they're just kids, they're just babies.
I know. Yeah, I agree. The Tweety Bird shirt and the violet socks and white Converse sneakers and blue overalls. She was very colorful.
I know, and like just no teeth. Like I had lost all the little baby teeth, and I'm just like, that's just so sad, y'all. Like, I mean, I just wish we didn't live in a world like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I noticed, I didn't see any sketches of suspects or persons of interest, and none have been named, obviously, for either of these cases. So I don't know what's up with that. I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, me too, honestly, because, you know, especially after all these years, you would hope that they'd have some kind of information to go on. If you don't have a person of interest, I mean, that's like a needle in a haystack, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And now, according to NAMIS, the National Missing and Unidentified Persons Database, more than 600,000 persons go missing each year. Mm-hmm. Most missing person cases are resolved quickly, and the missing person case numbers have been declining since 1997. I'm sure cell phones, social media play a big part in that.
100%.
And the Amber Alerts. Mm-hmm. According to NAMIS, there are currently 22,000 missing persons and over 14,000 unidentified persons.
That's so much. That's so much.
Wow.
And we talked about that before, the DOE network and stuff, having all these, you know, we don't have names for these people. There's no telling, like, where to start with this. And, you know, who's to say some of the cases that we've gone over, maybe they're just DOEs that haven't been identified yet, you know?
Yeah, and I know they're starting to use more and more DNA databases. I assume it's like Ancestry.com.
Yeah, that's
and,
what I thought too.
Yeah, you know, some of these that are, I guess, more commercial as far as instead of a police department to identify folks, maybe find a family member or something like that on one of those websites, which is awesome if you can do that and have some closure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I'm glad we were able to record this episode. Hopefully we'll actually release it.
Maybe this will stick.
But thank you guys so much for listening. Continue to comment, subscribe, share, let the world know, and give us suggestions. We've gotten several, and we're enjoying it.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, thank you for over 10,000 downloads. That's so cool.
That is cool. And thank you for hanging in there.
I know.
When we missed two podcasts.
I know it. Well, you know, we all needed a break. Bless your heart, Rhonda. You're working all the time. So
yeah. All right, we'll catch you guys next week.